Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shavuot, the pilgrimage. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Shavuot. Neiman Novetzky is a faculty member at Pardes. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Neiman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. We find ourselves in between Yom Yerushalayim and Shavuot. And so I wanted to talk about something that, to some extent, relates to both. One of the mitzvot that we unfortunately no longer get to do, that's related to all three of the pilgrimage holidays, to Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, is, of course, the pilgrimage itself, Aliyah LeRegel. And we're told in the Tanakh that three times a year on these three holidays, we're supposed to go up to greet Hashem, to go and spend some time in Yerushalayim in the area of the Beit HaMikdash. And what I wanted to talk about a little bit today is, what was the experience of Aliyah LeRegel like? What was it like for people to make that pilgrimage towards Yerushalayim? Now, unfortunately, we don't have so many different sources that actually tell us what an experience was like. And so I'm going to get at our experience from actually a variety of sources. One that talks about the process of bringing Bikurim, the first fruits, that the first time we're able to do this is on Shavuot itself. Another source, one of the Prakim of Tehillim, one of the chapters in the book of Psalms, that they supposedly said as they went to bring their Bikurim. And finally, a description in Hallel, which might also relate to people's pilgrimages toward Jerusalem. So let's start with the description of the bringing of Bikurim in the Sefer Devarim, where we're actually given the mitzvah, we're given the commandment. The psukim say, the verses read, when you come to the land that God has given you as an inheritance, and you shall settle there, and you should take from the first of your fruits of the land that God has given you, and you should put it in a basket, and you should go to the place that God will choose, meaning, of course, the Beit HaMikdash, and you should go to the Kohen that will be in that time period, and you should then say what we normally refer to as Mikra Bikurim, a certain text that was said as part of the ceremony. In Zvarim, the description of the bringing of Bikurim is a very individual process. V'lakachta, you should take in singular. V'halachta, you should go in singular. Interestingly, when the Rambam writes the halachot, when he writes about the laws of bringing Bikurim, he has a very different description. Kitzad malinet habikurim, he writes, how do we bring Bikurim? What was the process like? Kol ha'ayarot sheb'ma'amad mitkansot. All the different villages in a certain region would come and gather together. Kedesha lo ya'alu yechidim, so that no one would go as individuals. Shenemar berov am hadrat melach, because we have this concept that with great numbers, there's more glory to God. So already in the very beginning of the description of the Rambam, we have something that seems to contrast with the description in Sefer Dvarim. Here it's not people going as individuals, but actually intentionally going as a group. Then the Rambam actually describes the process and the procession towards Yerushalayim. Uva'im v'lanim b'rechova shel ir, they would go and camp out in the streets of the city. V'lo yikansu l'avatim, they wouldn't go into their houses, mipnei ohel atuma, for fear that lest someone happens to die while they're inside one of the houses and they become tamei, they become impure. They all sleep out. The idea here, of course, is that the people have already purified themselves in a mikvah, and they want to make sure that they maintain that purity since they're about to be going to the Beit HaMikdash. And so they make sure that in the entire route towards Yerushalayim, they're camping out outside. Ubashachar, in the morning, Hamimuneh Omer, the person who is appointed, makes an exclamation. Kumu v'na'alet Zion el Hashem Elokeinu. Come, let us go up towards Zion to Hashem our God. V'hashur holech lefnehem, and the ox would go before them, v'karnav mitzupin zahav, with its horn covered with gold, v'atarash al zayit b'rosho, and a wreath of olive branches on its head, l'hodiyah shah bikurim yishiv'at haminim, to make the statement that we're bringing bikurim, we're bringing the first of the seven species of the land. V'hachalil makel lifneihem, and some type of percussion instrument is being hit before them, ad shehim megiim karov liYerushalayim, until they come close to Yerushalayim. The picture you have here is like a massive parade. For those listeners who come from New York, it always reminds me of the Salute to Israel parade, with people going and marching with floats and instruments and all different types of enjoyment and a feeling of solidarity. People are coming together. People are happy. People are celebrating as they moved closer and closer to Yerushalayim. The Rambam continues, V'hem hochim b'chol haderech v'korin samachti ba'omrim li beit Hashem nelech. And they go the entire route as they're singing, I am happy when I was told that we're going to the house of God. Higiu karov liYerushalayim, they come close to Jerusalem. Shalchu lifneihem shluchim lehodia l'anshei Yerushalayim. They send messengers forth towards Jerusalem to tell the people in Jerusalem that they're about to arrive. V'hapachot v'haskanim v'hagizbarim yotzin l'kratam Yerushalayim. And all these people come out to greet them from Yerushalayim. And they say, Achenu anshei makom ploni bo'achem l'shalom. People of such and such a place, we greet you with peace. So here you have a beautiful image, not just of people coming together to go to Yerushalayim, but the people of Jerusalem being hospitable and opening up their arms and saying, come, welcome to Jerusalem. There's some description sometimes of the people that used to come up towards Yerushalayim when they were coming with lots and lots of people, not just to bring Bikurim, but even for Aliyah LaRegel, for the pilgrimages during the three festivals, where we're told that the people of Yerushalayim would put white handkerchiefs on their windows to let people know that there's a meal inside for everyone who's hungry, or a place to stay. And the people of Jerusalem would really open up their homes to all of those that were making the pilgrimage, whether it be for the festival, whether it be for Bikurim, or anything else. As the Rambam was describing this procession, one of the things he said was that they would sing along the way, Samachni ba'omrim li beit Hashem nelech. We were happy when we were told that we're going to the house of God. This is the first line of Mizmor Kuf Chaf Bet, the Parak 122 of Sefer Tehillim. And the Mizmor, the Psalm, describes not the process and the procession going towards Jerusalem, but what someone might have felt like when they arrived. So we're going to read it together and see what experience did someone feel when they actually got to Jerusalem. The Mizmor, the Psalm opens, Shir ha'ma'alot l'David, samachti ba'omrim li beit Hashem nelech. The Psalm is told in first person, at least in the beginning, where someone is saying, I was happy when they told me that it's time to go to the house of Hashem. Some have read this Psalm and said, what does he mean he was happy to go? It sounds like this is someone who's been waiting a lifetime to go. He didn't have a chance to go every year. Sometimes I think we envision that the entire nation were commanded to go up three times a year, and so everybody came. The truth was probably somewhat different. Remember, if you're supposed to go Pesach and Shavuot, and you're a farmer living up north, this is sort of the busiest time of the season. It's not so easy to take off and to go Pesach, come back, 4 weeks later, get ready to go again at the height of the harvest. And it's very likely that not everybody was able to go all the time. And imagine if you didn't live in Israel, but you lived in Bavel, you lived in Babylonia. Then it was not just a two-day journey, but it could be weeks and weeks. Not something that's so easy to do for three times a year. So for some people, it really might have been something that you saved up for. And you said, next year we're going to go. And you looked forward to it the whole year. This person said, it's finally my time. It's my turn. I can finally go to Beit Hashem. We read the very next verse, and it says, "Omdot hayu raglenu b'sharach Yerushalayim." So we switch both in location and in speaker from verse 1 to verse 2. In verse 1, the person had just heard the news, it's time to go, already in verse 2, and our feet were standing in the gates of Yerushalayim. But there's another interesting contrast between the two verses. In the first verse, the person speaking says, Samachti, I was happy. In verse 2, Omdut hayu raglenu, our feet were standing. The person who had been an individual, way up north or wherever he's coming from, when he gets to Jerusalem, feels part of a whole. That same idea that we had seen in the Rambam of moving from the individual to the community, being part of a whole, feeling solidarity, feeling union, is what comes out of this mizmor, of this psalm as well. As soon as he gets to Jerusalem, he's part of a we. And how does he describe Yerushalayim? What's the Yerushalayim that he sees? Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra layachdav. He describes Jerusalem as a city that was built, as a city that was connected together. What does he mean by that? It's of course not so clear. Some suggest that perhaps the person who's writing this has come to Jerusalem after some time period of war, and that literally the city has been rebuilt and pieced together. Others say perhaps it's talking about a certain unique characteristic of Yerushalayim, that it's built and made up of lots of little pieces that all come together as a whole. Someone once gave an analogy. If you walk around Yerushalayim today, and you walk basically about 7 blocks in any direction, you're in a new community, right? You're Mea Sharim 1 minute, next 2 blocks down is Yafo, a very different type of people, a very different community. Right? You have Beit HaKerem on one hand, and you have Har Nof on the other hand. They're not so far, but they're very different. Yerushalayim is made up of lots and lots of little pockets, individual communities, but somehow they're mechubar yachdav. They come together as a whole. All these different personalities, philosophies, theologies, all somehow are still part of that same Yerushalayim. The author moves on and describes, Shishama lu shvatim shivteka idut liYisrael hodot l'shem Hashem. He says, Yerushalayim is a place where all the different shvatim came together from the very beginning of history. This was a place of individual shvatim, but individual shvatim that come together to make a monarchy, to go and make one big nation. Kishama yeshvu kisot lemishpat, kisot lebeit David. Interestingly, out of all the buildings that this person sees when he comes to Yerushalayim, the one that he describes here is the kisot lemishpat, seats of judgment. This is a place where he sees justice. Again, for this author, what's Yerushalayim about? One, unity, solidarity, a coming together. Two, it's about justice. That's what Yerushalayim is, an ir hatzedek, a city of righteousness. He continues on, and he calls out to the people around him, and he says, Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. All those of you who are visiting, you should seek out the peace of Yerushalayim. And then he turns to Yerushalayim herself, and he says to her, Yishlayu ohavayach. Those that love you should find solace and should find comfort and peace. So here he's speaking to two separate groups and asking each to tell each other and bring each other peace. You visitors, bring peace to Yerushalayim. You, Yerushalayim, bring peace to your visitors. And then he speaks to her, Yihi shalom bechelich, shava bi'armanotayach. There should be peace amongst your walls and amongst your palaces. So Yerushalayim is not just a place of unity. It's not just a place of justice. But he's wishing that it shall also be a place of peace, as its name implies, Yeru, the city of Shalom, Yerushalayim. We get to the end of the mizmor, and it sounds like our author has already gone back home. And he makes one last plea, Leman achai v'rei'ai, abdabra na shalom bach. Leman beit Hashem Elokeinu, avaksha tov lach. He says, on behalf of my brothers, on behalf of my friends, I shall speak out for peace for you. For the sake of the house of God, I shall request good for you. Interestingly, when we got to the end of the poem, at the end of the song, the end of the mizmor, we switch back to first person singular. Avak shatov lach. I will seek peace for you. Once he's left Yerushalayim, he's no longer part of that whole in the same way. I wanted to end with one last mizmor from Tehillim, which I think also captures in a very beautiful way what the experience of going up toward Yerushalayim might have been like. This is a mizmor from the end of Tehillim, from Kuf Yutchet, 118. It's one of the psalms that comprise what we know of as Hallel. I know from personal experience, whenever I say Hallel, all of the different psalms that make up the tefillah sort of merge in my head as one big praise. And if one were to ask me, what's the difference between this chapter and that chapter, I probably wouldn't be able to say anything. Until recently, I read a beautiful article in the Set Dat Mikra, which really analyzed the mizmor and opened it up in a way that I had never seen before and made it stand out. They suggest that sometimes when we read Tehillim, we tend to read them as if it is all one voice speaking. And that the truth is, some of the mizmorim, some of the chapters and some of the psalms should perhaps be read more as a drama, more as an interchange of voices and of places. We'll see how it works as we follow along in Tehillim Kuf Yud Chet. Those that are listening from home might actually want to open up a Tanakh right now to chapter 118 of Psalms. The psalm is set, perhaps, or at least according to some reads, as a group of people who are walking towards Yerushalayim in order to bring a korban todah, in order to bring an offering of thanksgiving. And as we said that the Rambam described with the bringing of bikurim, that perhaps people didn't bring them as individuals, here too the suggestion is that people would wait, perhaps, till it was time to go up Aliyah LaRegel as a pilgrimage anyway, and save up their korban todah to bring not as individuals, but as part of a larger group that were going and making their way towards Jerusalem. And so he suggests that there was perhaps a leader who was heading this procession toward Jerusalem, and he calls out to the whole group, Hodu LaHashem Kitov. Go and thank Hashem because he is good. The group answers, Ki li olam chasdo, his kindness is forever. The group leader then turns to one subgroup within this pilgrimage, and he tells them, Yomar na Yisrael, you Yisrael, speak out. And they answer, Ki li olam chasdo, his kindness is forever. He turns to a second group and he says, Yomuna Beit Aron, you perhaps a group of Levites, you guys speak out. And they answer, Ki li olam chasdo. Finally, he turns to a third group. Yomu na yirei Hashem, you the righteous, you call out. And they answer, Ki li olam chasdo. The people then start their progression towards Yerushalayim. And as they do, individuals stand up and tell their personal stories. Why is it that they're coming to bring this korban todah? What happened to them that's leading them to bring this thanksgiving offering? And so a first person stands up and he tells his story. Min hametzar karatika anani bamerchavka. He says, from the straits of distress, I called out to God, and God answered me and gave me space. Hashem li lo ira. God is with me. I will not fear. Maya aseli adam, what man could possibly do to me? Hashem li bo'ozrai v'anir ebisonai. Because God is with me and helping me, I have nothing to fear from my enemies. The people hearing his story answer, Tov lachasod b'Hashem miptoach b'adam, tov lachasod b'Hashem miptoach b'nidvin. It's good to take refuge in God, better than trusting in man. The people continue on. This time, another person stands up. Perhaps someone who had been in a situation of war, or somehow enemies surrounding him, and he describes his experience. Kol goyim svavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam. Savuni gam svavuni b'shem Hashem kiamilam. He describes how he felt surrounded by the nations. Sabuni kidvorim da'achu ke'ish kotzim b'shem Hashem kiamilam. He had felt like there were swarms of bees hovering over him, as if he was going to be burnt like a thorn. Da'chol d'chitani linpol v'Hashem azrani. Though he felt like he was going to fall, Hashem saved him. Aziv v'zimratka v'ayhili Yeshua. God was his strength and had become his salvation. The people get closer and closer to Yerushalayim. From afar, they hear Kori Navi Shua Balei Tzadikim. They hear voices of song and crying out. What are they crying out? Yemin Hashem Osachayel. The right hand of God does valor. And they answer Yemin Hashem Romima. Yemin Hashem Osachayel. The right hand of God is valiant. He does valor. They continue walking. Another person stands up to tell his personal story. This was a person, perhaps, who had been very, very sick, but God had cured him. And so he says, Lo amut ki achya, I will not die, I'm going to live, v'asaper ma'asekah, so that I could tell the greatness of Hashem. Yasur yisaraniya v'lamavet lo netanani, though God has tried me, he didn't let me die. They arrive at the gates of Yerushalayim, and they turn to the gatekeeper and they say, Pitchuli sharei tzedek, open up the gates of righteousness. Avovam, let me go in, v'odeka, and I will give thanks to God. The gatekeeper answers, Ze hashar l'Hashem, tzadikim yavova. This is the gate towards God. the righteous may enter. And so they go through the gate of Yerushalayim, heading towards the Beit HaMikdash. As they go, one last person stands up and says, Odacha ki ani tani vatihili lishua. Thank you for answering me and for becoming my salvation. By now, they've arrived right in front of the Beit HaMikdash. They look at the walls of the Beit HaMikdash and they say, Evin ma'asu habonim haita l'rosh pina. A rock that had been discarded by the builders has become a cornerstone. They're looking at the Beit HaMikdash itself. Me'et Hashem haitazot, hi niflat beinu. This is a wonder of God. Ze hayom asa Hashem nagila v'nismacha bo. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice in Him. They're in the Beit HaMikdash itself. Many of them have already given thanksgiving to God. And now it's time to request future salvation. Anna Hashem hoshiana, please save us in the future as well. Anna Hashem hatzlichana, make us successful. Out comes the Kohen, ready to accept their sacrifices. They turn to him and say, Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, welcome. They answer, meaning the Kohanim, the priests answer, Berachnuchem mibeit Hashem, we bless you from the house of God. In the next verse, they actually put their sacrifices on top of the altar, and it says, El Hashem ve'ya'er lanu, God, bring out the ore, bring out the light, perhaps the fire that's about to consume the sacrifice. Isru chag ba'avotim ad karnot ha-mizbeach. They're tying up the chag on the horns of the altar. And finally, they conclude, Keli ata ve'odeka, Elohai Arom Emeka. You are my God, and I thank you. You are my God, and I exalt you. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo. Give thanksgiving to Hashem, because His kindness is forever. A wonderful way of reading a Mizmor in Tehillim, one that opened my eyes when I read the explanation, and opened my eyes, one, to a new way of reading Psalms, that it doesn't have to be one voice. There could be a multiplicity of voices. There could be movement. There could be people talking to each other and answering each other, refrains. But also, a wonderful image of how people come together to go and give thanksgiving to Hashem. It would be a very different experience to bring a Korban Todah alone than to bring a Korban Todah amongst other people who are similarly giving thanksgiving offerings. If you give thanksgiving offerings and you tell your story, and the person next to you tells his story, and a third person tells his story, the greatness of God is elevated. Berov am hadrat melech. There's a certain coming together here, a feeling of, let's together thank God. So if we look at all these different sources that I hope gave you a bit of a sense of perhaps what the experience of going towards the Beit HaMikdash, Aliyah LaRegel, for Bikurim, for Korban Todah, whatever was the situation, the one thing, of course, that comes out of all the sources is a feeling of togetherness. Everybody streaming together towards the Beit HaMikdash. Everybody coming together to thank God and to give back. And with that, I wish everybody a Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Naima. Your comments on podcasts are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.